Financial reform passed, Goldman settled, oil capped. Can we take the rest of the summer off?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Three big developments in the business world we will review and discuss right after we ask, where's Wall Street? We got some kind of disappointing corporate news this morning. Sales were down at some big financial companies. The Dow is down 97 points at 10,261, and the NASDAQ at S&P 500 are both down about 1%. Stock at Bank of America down 6%, Citigroup 3%, General Electric, which remember is partly a financial company, down 3%. More on that in a moment. Let's say good morning to Chief Economist Chris Lowe of FTN Financial. He joins us every Friday morning from New York. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
So three big business stories at the end of this week: financial regulation, Goldman Sachs settled fraud accusations, BP at least temporarily capped its oil well. Overall, what do we take away from these big stories?
Well, look, if I'm going to try to find one big picture way to wrap those all together, it would have to be this. Back in May and June, hiring essentially stopped in the private economy, we think because of uncertainty surrounding all of those things. So now maybe since we've settled that, companies can go back and start making decisions about next year and start hiring again.
Interesting. Chris, hang on a sec. I want to tell our listeners more about that Goldman Sachs settlement. Goldman was charged with not being totally open about financial instruments it sold just before the financial crisis. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is with us live from our New York bureau. Hi, Elisa.
Good morning.
So Goldman agreed to pay $500 million fine. Who gets that money? Is it the investors who lost money?
Partly, yes. About half the money will go to two European banks who lost big buying those investments. Actually, one of them, Royal Bank of Scotland, says it's still contemplating further action against Goldman Sachs. Meanwhile, the rest goes to the U.S. government, so I guess ultimately to us, the taxpayers. The only thing is, when you do the math, it ends up being about 97 cents a person, so not much of a windfall there. It's probably worth mentioning here, the SEC isn't upset that investors lost money. That just goes with the territory. Rather, the agency argued the losses were unfair because Goldman didn't properly disclose those various conflicts of interest. So the game was essentially fixed.
Well, $500 million fine, it's not nothing, but Goldman does not have to admit any wrongdoing in the case. We're talking here about banks that make billions a year. Elisa, break that down for us. Is this a token fine?
I talked to Alistair Milne this morning. He's a banking professor at the Cass Business School in London. He says Goldman got off easy because there really wasn't much else the SEC could do.
It's difficult to prosecute such cases in the courts. So in the end, I think they've been able to face down the SEC and in exchange for this fine.
Certainly, the fine itself is a lot smaller than a lot of people had been predicting. You know, as soon as we started hearing about a possible settlement, people were saying it could be more than $1 billion. The other thing is, if you put this into the context of those Wall Street earnings we've been hearing about this week, it's really just a drop in the bucket. Goldman Sachs doesn't report second quarter earnings until Tuesday, but the last time it reported, it was earning that much money every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks. Marketplace's Elisa Roth, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And that leads us back to economist Chris Lowe. Chris, you heard Elisa say Goldman can make $500 million in 2 weeks. We just got earnings reports this morning from a couple other big banks, Citigroup, Bank of America. As I said, their revenues were down, but their profits were still up to almost $3 billion. What are the big banks' balance sheets saying about the economy?
Well, the emerging theme for the second quarter earnings is very much about reducing set-asides for loan losses. People are paying their mortgages at a better rate than they were. They're also paying their credit cards at a better rate than before. So banks don't have to set aside quite as much as they did. But I would say this, if the second quarter slowdown in economic activity continues, they may not be able to continue to write off those loss provisions for much longer. So we look at those numbers as a one-time windfall and expect to see that earnings will slow in the future.
That's Chris Lowe, Chief Economist at FTN Financial. Chris, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong.
I mentioned BP has at least temporarily capped the Gulf oil leak. Experts can hopefully start to figure out how much oil spilled into the water, all told. Reporter Adrian Hill says that number that experts settle on has big implications for BP.
The bigger the spill, the bigger the fines for BP.
It could be quite large.
Kathy Milliston is an analyst with Morningstar. BP could be fined $1,100 to $4,300 per barrel of oil spilled. That can add up fast, depending on the final size of the spill.
Anywhere from $4 billion to $45 billion.
You'd think BP might have every reason to lowball the numbers, but University of Michigan professor David Ullman says it's better for the company to play nice.
We should be clear that the maximum penalty is not the same as what the actual penalty will be.
Ullman says when the government sets the fine, it'll consider just how cooperative BP has been. For Marketplace, I'm Adrian Hill.
Adrian went to see how scientists estimate the size of that spill. She took a trip to NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab. You can see an audio slideshow of what she found at marketplace.org. And finally, here's the entire week's business news in a Marketplace Minute. The oil has stopped leaking, loosely speaking. BP still tweaking. Havoc still wreaking. The drug Avandia came in handy a decade ago. Diabetes, you know. The drug attracts some heart attacks, but weighing the facts, the FDA backs it. Goldman Sachs disputes the facts, but settles its fraud case, and the stock reacts. Earnings season, mostly pleasing, with smiles on the face of Morgan Chase. Alcoa did well, Intel as well. It seems the nation's corporations don't share in our deprivations. Financial reform survived the storm, but it won't stop a bubble. We're all still in trouble. The economy's in the gutter, a ship without a rudder. Food prices fall, including butter. But the golfing world is all a flutter because Tiger Woods has switched his putter. He's not made for one putter. He needs to be free. I'll see you at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.